of dog, nonsense. But John and Scott. What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
Type in monkey dick in the Yahoo podcast search, and we come up number one. That's right.
Here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal.
Yeah, your ass called, and he says, stop sticking cocks in it.
Sword. A sword fight.
Sword.
Yeah, I had like a fluid-filled pus ball.
Am I keeping you up? Sorry.
No, I was...
Shut up.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
Do you even pay attention to your own crap?
I listen to my own crap.
Don't listen.
I do listen.
You're not. You just yap, and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listen.
So if you're ever looking for our podcast, type in monkey dick.
You're listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
I don't believe in unity. It's just one more abandoned dream. Once the people get together, it's easy to see. It's just a matter of time before they come after me.
All right, you know what that means. Part three of the heavy metal episode. This is AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 54, part three.
The heavy metal episode,
heavy
John.
Metal episode. Although that's not heavy metal. It's more like punk.
Man, I got heartburn.
You do?
I don't know why.
You'll be all right, dude.
Let's get right into it, John, with some science news. I only have one science story this week.
One science story.
But get this, John. We're the offspring of sex between human and chimp ancestors, according to the latest evolutionary theory. I'm going to turn into a creationist, John. Fossils indicate our ancestors diverged from chimp ancestors 7 million years ago, but genes suggest we were still reproducing with them 6 million years ago. Here's the solution. The two groups split but continued having sex, and we probably descended from the breeding of a chimpoid humanoid female and a chimpoid male.
A sphincter says what?
Here's the criticisms. Would chimpoid humanoids have been sterile like mules? 2. Maybe we got the genetic math wrong. 3. It's too gross. Our female ancestors would never have stooped to sex with knuckle draggers. Well, I can prove that to be wrong. Because they did it
to you.
To me. And rebuttals. Women do this every day. 2. We're animals. Deal with it. 3. This is the best explanation available until somebody comes up with a better one. Okay, so now, a couple of months ago, we broke the science story that we were all black at one time.
Which, did you see the latest picture with Bono?
I did not.
High-fiving all the kids in Africa, and one of them is whiter than you and me with white kinky hair.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Like an albino African feller, young kid.
Well, now we find out we all came from black people, which I don't have an issue with, Sean. It explains a lot of things for me. And now we find out that we were humping chimps.
Right.
To create humanoids, and that explains the W. So things are shaping up here, and they're due to science, John.
Talk
science.
To Vice President Cheney.
Not religion,
I
not
to
faith.
Condi and asked her to call Andy. Thank you.
All right, John. We have a new game we're going to play. This is called the Shit or Shinola game.
Shit or Shinola.
The shit or shinola. So I'm going to read you a question, and you need to tell me whether it's shit or shinola.
All right.
All right, you ready for the first question?
Yeah.
Dust found in the average household is mostly made up of dead skin. Is that shit or shinola?
It's a shinola.
That is shinola. The average human sheds 1/2 ounce of skin per week, which dries and collects to form dust. In fact, about 80% of the particles seen floating in a sunbeam is dead human skin.
Oh.
The favorite food source for microscopic mites, whose excretions are a primary cause of allergies and asthma. Dust mites love warm, moist environments, John, like beds. Ohio State University scientists estimate that 10% of a 2-year-old pillow is comprised of dead dust mites and their excrement.
Oh, no.
So that is Shinola.
Oh, I'm going to change out the pillow every week.
Next shit for Shinola. New York has the highest reported number of violent and property crimes in the country.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
New York has the highest reported number of violent and property crimes in the country. Shit or Shinola?
That's a shit.
That is Shinola, John. In 2004, the Big Apple reported 26,683 incidents of violent crime and 80,796 incidents of property crime. Los Angeles
was like
second.
Philadelphia.
And in both cities, the highest category for violent crime was aggravated assault. And the highest category for property crime was larceny theft, as opposed to burglary, motor vehicle theft,
wow,
and arson. All right, you got one right, one wrong. Next one, shit or Shinola. Red ants recruit slaves from other species of ants to do their physical labor. Shit or Shinola?
Shit.
That is Shinola, John.
God damn it.
Red ants, the version of Amazon ants found in the western United States, steal the larvae of other ants to keep as slaves. The slave ants build homes for the
slave ants, them
and
ants.
Ants who cannot do anything but fight.
Them freaking ants.
That's one right, two wrong, John. Let's get it back to 50% here. Shit or Shinola, toenails grow faster than fingernails.
That'd be shit.
That is total shit, John, and you're two for two. I mean, you're two and two. Fingernails grow four times as fast than toenails, and they grow faster in warm weather.
Because of light.
Men's fingernails grow faster than women's. The longer the fingernail, the faster the nail growth. The longest fingernails on record measured 20 feet long and belonged to a man in India who grew them for 48 years without cutting them. Well, there's a guy that doesn't have a job, right?
Right.
I mean, how could you?
Well, they curl.
Yeah, but they still got to be a pain in the ass to haul those things around.
Oh, yeah.
20 feet of nail.
They curl up and ugh.
John is 2-2 with two questions left. Oof. Will he end up on the shit side or the Shinola side? Next question. Pigs were the first animals to be domesticated.
Oh, yeah. That's Shinola.
That is total shit, John.
What?
As is only proper.
No way.
The honor goes to man's best friends, dogs.
Really?
It is generally believed that they were domesticated 10 to 14,000 years ago. However, some scientists think now that that may have taken place much earlier, as far back as 135,000 years ago.
Oh, scientists think, but
the
they don't know for sure.
The next three animals to be domesticated were the sheep, the goat,
that.
And the pig. All four were domesticated in Asia. Oh, they know it was 10,000 to 14,000 years ago, but they think it may have been as early as 135,000 years ago
when we were still humping chimps.
It doesn't say, man. It doesn't say. It just says the next three in line. I don't know.
Next three in line after the million years?
Okay, you're two right, three wrong, John. Let's pull even here. Shit or Shinola, Mark Twain was the first American author to publish a novel composed on a typewriter.
Shit.
That is Shinola, John.
Damn it.
At the time when Samuel Clemens, best known for Mark Twain, penned his famous stories and books, most authors wrote their compositions in longhand. Twain embraced the new technology and used the machine to write The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Man, if you'd have told me, I would have played some Rush.
Two for four, man. Two, no, not even. Two for six. Two for six. Now, if you're playing baseball, that's pretty good, but you're not. You're playing shit for Shinola.
Shinola. Shit or Shinola, not shit for Shinola.
Shit or Shinola.
One to nothing, Scott. One to nothing on you, ain't. Got bitten by an ain't.
All right, John, do you want to know the top 10 signs of the impending U.S. police state?
Oh, yeah.
And please. I think you probably know most of these.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Number one, and what this means, folks, is that the government,
folks,
with the W, the U.S. is soon going to be a police state.
You said one again. The W.
The W.
You said it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Number one, the internet clampdown. I'm sorry. The internet's clampdown.
Clampdown.
Attempts to regulate and filter internet content are intensifying lately, John, coming both from telecommunications corporations who are gearing up to pass legislation transferring ownership and regulation of the internets to themselves, and the Pentagon.
And you didn't even read that.
Information Operation Roadmap in 2003, signed by Ronald Dumsfeld, outlines tactics such as network attacks and acknowledges, without suggesting a remedy, that U.S. propaganda planted in other countries has easily found its way to America via the Internet.
Wow.
One obvious tactic clearing the way for stifling regulation of Internet content is the growing media frenzy over child porn and Internet predators, which will surely lead to legislation that by far exceeds its purview. What is needed to fight such threats? That's the number one sign. Number two, John, the long war. And you've talked about this extensively, John. The long war. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
The long war.
Sure.
This little piece of clumsy marketing died off quickly, but it gave away what many already suspected. The war on terror will never end.
Never. Just like the war on drugs.
Is it meant to end, John? It is designed to be perpetual. As with the war on drugs, it outlines a goal that can never be fully attained. As long as there are pissed off people and explosives, the long war will eventually justify what are ostensibly temporary measures. Suspension of civil liberties, military expansion, domestic spying, massive deficit spending, and the like.
Oh, yeah.
The short-lived moniker told us all, get used to it. Things aren't going to change anytime soon.
The war of bad smells. Why not have a war on bad smell?
I would lose that war, John. I am rank tonight.
You will lose that war. You would perpetuate it. It would last forever.
It lasts forever. There's no way you could end that war. And again, we're talking about the top 10 signs of the impending U.S. police state. Number three, the U.S. Patriot Act.
Oh, man.
Did anyone really think this was going to be temporary? Yes, this disgusting power grab gives the government the right to sneak into your house, look through all your stuff, and not tell you about it for weeks on a rubber stamp warrant. Yes, they can look at your medical records, your library selections. Yes, they can pass along any information they find without probable cause for purposes of prosecution. No, they're not going to take it back.
Stuff.
Ever, John. Ever.
Oh, no. It's just like tollways.
Right.
They're only temporary.
Oh,
boy, this is a really awesome way to suck up some revenue.
Number four, impending U.S. police state, top 10 signs. Prison camps, John. The last January, the Army Corps of Engineers gave Halliburton subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root nearly $400 million to build detention centers in the United States for the purpose of unspecified new programs. Of course, the obvious first guess would be that these new programs might involve rounding up Muslims or political dissenters. I mean, obviously, detention facilities are there to hold somebody, John. I wish I had more to tell you about this, but it's, you know, secret.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Number five,
secret.
Touchscreen voting machines.
Right.
Despite clear, copious evidence that these nefarious contraptions are built to be tampered with, they continue to spread and dominate the voting landscape thanks to Bush's Help America Vote Act, the exploration of corrupt election officials, and the general public's enduring cluelessness.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you one example here, John. In Utah, Emory County Elections Director Bruce Funk witnessed security testing by an outside firm on Diebold voting machines, which showed them to be a security risk. But his warning fell on deaf ears. Instead, Diebold attorneys were flown to Emory County on the governor's airplane to squelch the story, and Funk was fired.
Oh.
John, stories like these and much worse abound, and yet TV news outlets have done less coverage of the new era of election fraud than even 9/11 conspiracy theories, which we covered quite extensively last podcast. This is possibly the most important story of the century, John, but nobody seems to give a damn.
No.
As long as the issue is ignored, real American democracy will remain an illusion. The midterm elections will be an interesting test of the public's continuing gullibility about voting integrity, especially if the Democrats don't win substantial gains, as they most surely will if everything is kosher, John.
That's right, it stinks!
And don't forget that Bush just suggested that his brother Jeb would make a great president. We really need to fix this problem soon.
It's unbelievable, man.
Something else.
Well, you know, this almost every country that's gone through this, and this is why...
Turning into a police state, you mean?
Yeah. It's all denial. Oh, no. Oh, our government would never do something like that. That's terrible. That would never happen here. And that's, and I forget that poem somebody was talking about where the guy said, yeah, they're coming for the union guys, and it's not me. And the next one was, they're coming for the gypsies. Ah, as long as it's not me. And then they came for me, and I had nobody to complain to.
Right. I think Maud said that about Howard Stern.
Oh.
Maud. And then there's Maud. Number six, top 10 signs of impending U.S. police state. And you've talked extensively about this, John. Signing statements.
That's right.
Bush has famously never vetoed a bill. This is because he prefers to simply nullify laws he doesn't
Absolutely.
Like
hey.
With signing statements. He's issued over 700 such statements. Let me give you an example of what these are, John. In December 30th, 2005, a law came out. U.S. interrogators cannot torture prisoners or otherwise subject them to cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. Bush's signing statement. The president, as commander-in-chief, can waive the torture ban if he decides that harsh interrogation techniques will assist in preventing terrorist attacks.
That's right.
Another example, in same date, when requested, scientific information prepared by government researchers and scientists shall be transmitted to Congress uncensored and without delay. Bush's signing statement. The president can tell researchers to withhold any information from Congress if he decides
Congress.
If disclosure could impair foreign relations, national security, or the workings of the executive branch.
That's
which,
right.
Which, how would that chimp be able to distinguish any of that shit? How does this chimp even know about science, John? That's what I want to know. Because here was a guy who, when it started to really go downhill for him, was purported to be supporting ID, intelligent design. Stupid ass.
Jesus Christ.
2004, a law came out. Forbids U.S. troops in Colombia from participating in any combat against rebels, except in cases of self-defense. Caps the number of U.S. troops allowed in Colombia at 800. Bush's signing statement. Only the president is commander-in-chief. Can place restrictions on the use of U.S. armed forces, so the executive branch will construe the law. Quote, as advisory in nature, end quote.
So why doesn't, like, Penn Jillette and his little bullshit show attack more of this shit?
Yeah, well, they could do a whole show on the signing BS.
Who gives a fuck about seances? Yeah, here we're going to show you how a seance really doesn't work. Everybody knows that it's bullshit.
No, not everybody knows. Smart people know, John.
There's a few people that think
stupid people don't know.
Yeah, but there's a lot more stupid people that are falling into this, that have no idea what a signing statement is and all the shit that, and then they'll say something stupider like Marty says. They're all the same, man.
Yeah.
There's no difference between Kerry and Bush. That's why he fucking bumper stickered the fuck out of his pickup truck with Bush. Bush Cheney 04.
Yeah, because they're all the same.
Thanks a lot, Marty.
Well, and getting back to signing statements, basically what it is the administration is bypassing the judiciary and deciding for itself whether laws are constitutional
or not.
Oh,
right. Absolutely.
And I don't see the new Supreme Court lineup having much of a problem with that, though.
No, because they're all a bunch of Bush apologists.
Yeah.
They're part of this neocon high-stepping regime, goose-stepping regime.
So even if Congress does pass a law that we support, Bush will just simply choose to ignore the ones that he doesn't care for. I don't care for that one.
Well, or
I'm going to rewrite it.
Or he just uses the signing statement to omit himself and certain people. This is what this means to me. This law, yeah, okay, we'll pass it, but this is what it means to me. You guys have to, everybody else has to follow it this way but me. Whatever I say goes. So no matter what, yeah.
Right. All right, moving on.
No matter what.
To number seven of the top 10 signs of the impending U.S. police state, warrantless wiretaps. Amazingly, yeah. The GOP sees this issue as a plus for them. How can this be? What are you, stupid? You find out the government is listening to your phone calls of U.S. citizens without even the weakest of judicial oversight, and you think that's okay?
Does anybody remember how this country started?
I do, John.
The Pilgrims left because they were sick and tired of waiting for England to reform the church and let everybody just kind of do whatever they want. So they came over here to practice religion the way they wanted to. Then our forefathers put together a constitution and the Bill of Rights, which seemed like perfectly good enough laws for me. Okay? Then we had the Boston Tea Party because taxes got raised by like a penny.
Taxation without representation,
right,
John.
But now we just let government walk all over us because they're going to protect us from terrorism.
Well, and that's the thing about these wireless phone calls and the people who say, well, I don't care. I have nothing to hide. And that may be true. You have nothing to hide today. But what happens when the W changes the laws?
What happens when you get a president in there you don't like?
I'm a law-abiding homosexual. I have nothing to hide. But then they decide homosexuality is against the
right.
law. Then you're fucked.
That's right.
Literally.
He came for the union guy.
Right.
And I didn't complain.
Maybe
and
he can...
then he came for the gypsy, and I didn't complain. Then he came for me. And I had nobody to complain to.
Maybe you can help me with number 8, John, because I don't know what it means, and the person didn't really... this is by Alan Utman of the Buffalo Beast. He didn't really put in the number 8 here. He just said, free speech zones. I know it's old news, but come on. Are they fucking serious? What are free speech zones?
I don't know.
Me neither. Is that where we can go and hopefully speak freely?
I think it's maybe the area outside of like a when you're protesting a something, they cordon it off and say this is the free speech zone. That's all I can think of it.
All right, we'll skip that. Maybe we'll research that, but probably not. number 9, top 10 signs of impending U.S. police state. High-ranking whistleblowers, Army generals, top-level CIA officials, NSA operatives, White House cabinet members. These are the kind of people that Republicans fantasize about being and whose judgment they usually respect. But for some reason, when these people resign in protest and criticize the Bush regime en masse, they are cast as traitorous.
Yeah.
Anti-American publicity hounds. Ridiculous. The fact is, when people who kill, spy, and deceive for a living tell you that the White House has gone too far... You a damn wetter.
you better damn wet in your pants.
Damn well better pay attention. We all know that most of these people are staunch Republicans, and if the entire military, except for two guys the Pentagon put in front of the press, wants Rumsfeld out, why on earth wouldn't you listen, John?
Well, that's what cracks me up, is Republicans are conservative, which means status quo, which means keep it the same, keep it very minimal, keep the government small, don't spend any money. Just use as much, military as you need to get the job done. That's it. No, Bill of Rights is pretty much all they were interested in. Now they're all fucking crazy. The government's bigger than it ever has been. Here's the free speech zone as from Wikipedia. Also known as the First Amendment zones and free speech cages are areas set aside in public places for political activists to exercise their right of free speech.
I should be able to do that anywhere.
Right.
I shouldn't have to go to a goddamn zone to do that.
Although such zones existed earlier, instituted by the Clinton administration, they gained more attention after the World Trade Organization meeting of 1999 and have been used vigorously by the George W. Bush administration. They were also used aggressively at the Democratic National Convention in 2004, which drew criticism in comparison to the Republican National Convention of the same year that left protesters free to protest in the streets. Civil libertarians claim that they are used as a form of censorship and public relations management to conceal opposition from the public and elected officials.
Wow. Whoa.
So, Democrats always preach that they're a big shot, they're all about civil liberties, but they're the ones that started the bullshit.
They're all the same, John.
They're all the same.
And the last reason... Top 10 signs of the impending U.S. police state.
Wait, let me give you a drum roll.
Okay.
Ready?
The CIA shakeup. Bush's nominee for CIA Chief Air Force General Michael Hayden has been confirmed. And that will put every spy program in Washington under military control. Hayden, who oversaw the NASA warrantless wiretap program, is clearly down with the program. The program? To weaken and dismantle, or at least neuter, the CIA. Despite its best efforts to blame the CIA for intelligence errors leading to Iraq War, the picture has clearly emerged through extensive CIA leaks that the White House analysis of Saddam's destructive capacity was not shared by the agency. This has proved to be a real pain in the ass for the Bush and the gang, the W. Oh, who'd have thought that the career spooks would have moral qualms about deceiving the American people? And what is the president to do about it? Simple. Make the critical agents leave and fill their slots with the W. Cheney loyalists. And then, why not simply replace the entire organization? That is essentially what both Donald Rumsfeld and the DOD and newly minted Director of National Intelligence, John, are doing. They want to move intelligence analysis into the hands of people they can control. So the next time they lie about an imminent threat, nobody's going to tell.
Right.
And the press is applauding the move as a necessary reform.
Oh, of course they're applauding it, because Gonzalez came out and said, we're going to start putting the press in jail for reporting on leaked information.
Right. And that's another key thing. And I think the top 10 signs of impending U.S. police state should have included that one. Should have been the top 11.
Definitely.
So Alan Uthman.
Well, I have
nailed
a theory.
Everything except that one.
I have a theory about. I'm going to talk about it off air because I'm not sure if it's.
It's like the Pelican Brief, where you say it and definitely. It's really true, and then they come after us, and then we hook up with Julia Roberts and Nick Nolte. Was he in that movie? No. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. All right, I'm going to try to lighten it up, John.
Have to.
I'm going to give you a W. Bushism, a W-ism quiz. I have four quotes from the W, and I'm going to read these quotes, and you have to give me the correct answer to finish the W quote. Are you ready for the first one?
Yeah.
Number one. The point now is, how do we work together to achieve important goals? And one such goal is a democracy in A, Germany, B, Iraq, C, Gitmo, or D, Palestine.
Palestine.
The correct answer is A, Germany.
What?
And one such goal is a democracy in Germany.
Wait a minute. When did he say that?
This is the W. He said this in May. He said this month.
Oh, no.
Number two. That's called a charge to keep based upon a religious hymn. The hymn talks about serving God. The president's job is never to promote A, communism, B, a religion, C, freedom, D, torture.
D.
B is the correct answer.
It doesn't matter what I
the
answer.
The president's job is never to promote a religion. Then why is he doing it, John?
Right.
I don't know. Okay, this is a short one. I aim to be A, promoter of freedom, B, Mexican immigrant, C, competitive nation, D, four-term president.
D.
C is the correct answer. I aim to be a competitive nation.
A four-term president.
Last question tonight. If the Iranians were to have a nuclear... Oh, I'm sorry, I got to do it in W. If the Iranians were to have a nuclear weapon, they could A, use it, B, promote freedom, C, become a nuclear power, D, proliferate.
It's fuzzy math.
D.
D is the correct answer, John.
Yeah, all right.
If the Iranians were to have a nuclear weapon, they could proliferate.
They could propagate. They could procreate.
Do we have a W clip to play?
Yes, we do, Scott.
Now, W, this is disturbing, for one thing. This guy's never admitted, and I'm really having trouble here, never admitted to making a mistake. And somebody asks him this question, have you ever made a mistake? And here's the two stupid-ass answers he comes up with. Listen to this shit. And then, if you listen to other newscasters, the Bush apologists, they're comparing him to Lincoln for identifying his mistakes here.
Oh, my God.
But listen to these stupid-ass mistakes. With all this shit going on,
yeah,
these are the things that the W comes up with.
Right, right.
Mr. President, you spoke about missteps and mistakes in Iraq. Could I ask both of you which missteps and mistakes of your own you most regret?
Sounds like kind of a familiar refrain here. Saying, bring it on. Kind of tough talk, you know, that sent the wrong signal to people. That I learned some lessons about expressing myself maybe in a little more sophisticated manner. You know, wanted dead or alive. That kind of talk. I think in certain...
spit it
parts
out!
Of the world, it was misinterpreted. And so I learned from that.
Harvard graduate.
You sent some mixed messages?
I think the biggest mistake that's happened so far, at least from our country's involvement in Iraq, is Abu Ghraib. And it's unlike Iraq, however, under Saddam, the people who committed those acts were brought to justice. They've been given a fair trial and tried and convicted.
Right.
So you listen to the Bush apologist, and he's like Lincoln, because he identifies these mistakes about his language. The guy can't speak. Never was he able to speak. So what does he know about a language and being misinterpreted? Everybody misinterprets this motherfucker because he can't get a goddamn sentence out. And then the other one is Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib.
Ghraib. Yeah,
Garabba.
But he himself said, hey, I can decide when torture's acceptable when we're dealing with terrorist threats. So why is that a mistake?
Unbelievable.
Why doesn't he come up with some mistakes like this, John? He spent the surplus and bankrupted the Treasury. How about that for a mistake?
Huh? Right, right.
He shattered the record for the biggest annual deficit in history. How about that one?
There and in Texas.
Right.
Here and in Texas, the entire United States and in Texas. You think people would have learned their lesson the first time?
Unbelievable, John.
It's fucked up. It's
unbelievable.
Un-be-fucking-leavable.
Oh, look at this. He's the first president in U.S. history to have all 50 states of the Union simultaneously go bankrupt. Isn't that great?
Yep. No doubt. I don't have any Bush stories. I have one, though, that's pretty funny. Did you hear about this dude that got off for sexual assaulting a child? A judge's decision to sentence a 5'1" man to probation instead of prison for sexually assaulting a child has angered crime victim advocates who say the punishment sends the wrong message. The reason why he's getting probation instead of jail time is because he's afraid that the little man won't be treated right in prison.
What?
Yeah.
That's the judge's decision?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You're tried by a jury in this country. What did the jury say?
Well,
did he override the jury's decision?
Cheyenne County District Judge Christine Sakava issued the sentence Tuesday. She told Richard W. Thompson that his crimes deserved a long prison sentence, but that he was too small to survive in a state prison.
He should have thought about that before he started molesting kids.
I know. This is so fucking stupid. Though he could have been sentenced to 10 years behind bars, he ended up with 10 years probation instead. On Thursday, the state's attorney general, John Bruning, promised to appeal within 2 weeks, calling the sentence far too lenient. The quote is, I'm concerned about the message this sends to victims and perpetrators. Said Maria Soule with the Nebraska Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Coalition, adding that it shows more concern is being placed on the criminal and his safety in prison than on the victim. Hear, hear. What a fucking bunch of bullshit.
And what about...
Should hang this guy by his balls.
And the backlash against the little people who are innocent, really. If they put this guy away, then we wouldn't have heard this story. Now that we heard this story... I'm never going to look the same at a little person ever.
Right.
I'm going to be on the lookout for every little person. All because of this guy and this stupid-ass judge.
Well, you know, I saw a guy today who's exactly your father-in-law's build,
mm-hmm.
his look and everything, who could bend crescent wrenches in his bare hands.
Whoa.
He was so fucking, but he wasn't built or anything.
Hmm.
He just learned how to use leverage and
maybe
do
it's
certain,
an illusion.
No. He actually had scientists watch what he did. They took, what he said was he used leverage and as you bend metal, it heats up. So you have to keep going. You can't stop. And if you keep going, the metal gets easier and easier to bend because it gets softer. But what happens with these big muscle dudes, they start bending something and they give up right away because it's too hard. Of course, it's going to hurt a little bit. But he was bending like half-inch rods into pretzels, tearing phone books in half. Bending the crescent wrench, bending a giant bolt around his thumb.
A phone book in half. I put like four sheets of paper and I have a hard time tearing that in half.
Yeah, he did it. He did all this stuff. It was on this science special about superhuman strength.
Well, I'll wait for the bullshit episode when they debunk
him. Right. I don't think they'll debunk him because he doesn't say it's a trick. He says anybody can do it. He just shows him how to do it. He says you just can't give up. You got to just do
trick.
It.
Must be a trick.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah.
I don't think so. How the fuck? The guy bent the crescent wrench right in front of my face.
Right in front of your TV, in front of all these people. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't like make it disappear. It's not like where somebody bends a spoon with their mind and they can just bend it in their hand and conceal it.
I can do that.
It's different. You actually would have to bend the spoon. But the trick is you're saying you're using your mind and something else isn't even touching the spoon to make it bend. This guy's saying, I am bending it on purpose with my hands and my legs. He's not like taking it like he's Superman going, arr. He uses his legs. He puts it between his knees and everything. He took a frying pan and rolled it up like a newspaper and made it fit through a watch. It was cool. It's scientific, man. Scientific.
Science.
Science vetted it. It's vetted with science. Not that pseudoscience that Penn Jillette uses. Fucking septic. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week.
All right, so Phil's not going to show up then.
Well, it's 37.
Okay.
It's 10:30, 10:40.
Let's call it. Let's call it then.
Besides, he didn't ring the fucking bell anyway.
Let's just call it right now.
Even if
he does ring, we called it.
We called it.
Part three is over. It's like the race has begun. You can't bet on it anymore.
That's right. All right. We're out of here, man.
Later.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.
I don't believe in unity. Just one more abandoned dream. Once the people get together, it's easy to see. It's just a matter of time before they come after me. But it must be pretty cool to be you with your brothers at your back protecting you. Must